Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Thanks for joining me tonight. I have got a cracker of an episode lined up for you. Tonight, I have Carly joining me, and she has had an amazing Min Min Light encounter. Carly and a friend were on a road trip on the New South Wales coast when they had a pretty aggressive run-in with what she thinks was a Min Min Light. What's so interesting about this is that the light followed them from town to town and only backed off when they reached populated areas. But before we get into that, let's talk about some iTunes 5-star ratings and reviews. As you know, each week I read out a new 5-star review that's left for me on iTunes. So if you want your review read out, simply jump on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and let me know what you enjoy about the show, and I might just read it out on the next episode. This one's titled, A Great Listen, Especially If You're Looking for Australian Content, and this comes in by Jembu from Australia. Always an interesting listen, especially when you have lived near, driven through, or have history of the areas that have been mentioned. It's amazing to hear what some people have experienced. Some things I'm jealous of, other things not so much. Keep up the great work, Cade, and I look forward to the show every week. Justin from the Snowy Mountains. So thanks for that. And just one final thing before we jump into this week's encounter. If you haven't joined our Facebook group yet, I highly recommend that you do. If you want to chat to other listeners of the show and talk about each episode that we release each week, simply search on Facebook for the Believe Paranormal and UFO listener community. So if you're interested in that, I'll also leave some links in the show notes for this episode. But that's enough of me talking. Let's get into Carly's encounter. Tonight I'm joined by Carly, and Carly has been followed by a bit of an unusual light, and we can't quite figure it out. Carly, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. Now, I'm really interested by your encounter, because when we were first talking about this a couple of weeks ago, you told me that this might have been a Min Min light, but we've had a little bit of a discussion, and I think we might be dealing with something else. Do you mind kind of going back to the start and retelling your encounter?
Yeah, sure. So I actually know the exact date that it took place. So it was the 19th of April. It was a Sunday in 2015. And me and my friend Sam were driving back from the south coast, New South Wales. And we stopped in a little town called Ardlethan, basically to go to the public toilets there. And it was just starting to get dark. It was around dusk. And she went into the toilet. And I kind of was fiddling with the radio, but it was like a weird reception situation. But that's not unusual because of the town and the remoteness of it. But we did make comments about how creepy it felt. Anyway, we get back in the car, pull onto the highway, and about a couple of kilometres down the highway, we're just chatting away. And then all of a sudden, we kind of noticed this like light just kind of filling up her back windscreen. She had like a little Kia Rio. And just took up all of the back windscreen. Anyway, we were still chatting away. It was kind of in the background. And then I think Sam slowed down a little bit because she's like made a comment or something of like, what is this thing motorbike doing, because it was one big circular light, as if it was like a big headlight. And anyway, then she slowed down a little bit so it could kind of go around her, but it didn't. Anyway, we kept chatting away a little bit and the light kind of just stayed there and it was really bright. And then this went on for a while and we started to really become conscious of it. And like, what is this? And anyway, we were kind of getting a bit perplexed about why was it kind of essentially tailgating us but not going around because it was so close to the car. And anyway, we kind of made a decision after a while that something a bit weird was going on, because we looked in the rear vision mirror at one point, even though we're still chatting away, and it was on the horizon. Then we looked back and it's like again back in the rear window, and we're like, this is really weird. So then we noticed that like another car was coming along, because it was a really straight, flat, long country road, and there wasn't like a lot of traffic around. So we're like, whatever, when the car comes, it's going to shine a light on it and we'll get to see what kind of vehicle this is and you know what's going on. And anyway, as soon as the car got near it, it went completely dark, like pitch dark. We couldn't see the light anymore. And as soon as the car got kind of away towards the horizon, the light was like bright as ever again. And this, by this stage, we're just freaked out. And then the whole horizon had kind of filled up with light. And then within like seconds, it was in the back windscreen. And we were, by this stage, we were like, something weird is happening. This is just not right. So we were kind of pretty panicked at this stage, and then it kind of happened two more times where a car would come past and we'd be like, what is it? And then nothing. Like the light would go blank and then it would come back. And so we stopped at a little town called Yenda, and by the stage we're like in the height of hysterics. We're like, this is, it's a weird feeling. Like we can't explain it when you don't know, you feel like you're being followed but you don't know what it is. Because we were having chats along the way while this is all unfolding. Like, what is it? What could it be? Because I had at that stage never even heard of an Indian light or anything like that. And then, yeah, so we stop in Yenda. We park, like, it's not much of a town, but we park under a street light, thinking it's, like, the safest spot. And we were that freaked out that we were considering going to her really recent ex-boyfriend who had left her for one of her best friend's houses and knocking on the door and being like, can we stay at your house for the night because we don't want to get back on the road.
Yeah, that's desperate.
Common sense failed. We were that scared and desperate. Anyway, it had been like 10, 15 minutes or whatever. Whatever it was, it's gone, thank God. So we pull back onto the highway, and by this stage there was like a lot more trees around, and we just see again, like we'll probably pull back onto the road for about 5 minutes, if that, by the time we got fully out of the town, and the town's not that big. And the whole horizon was lit up again, and within seconds it was just sitting in our back windscreen. And I remember turning around at one point and looking into the light, and because it was filling up the whole windscreen, and it was literally just like a big light hovering. It wasn't changing shape, it wasn't changing colour, there was no flashing lights. It was just like as if someone had a truck headlight and it was directly pointed into the car. So we're just having conversations back and forth. We're still pretty upset and panicked, like, what could this be? Anyway, we start to get towards Griffith. So it's about an hour all up between, like, Ardlethan and Griffith, and it's pretty much the whole way there this happened. So we're just like, oh, my God, when we get into the streetlights of Griffith, we'll see what it is. But literally as soon as we started to actually come into the town, it just disappeared, but it didn't go off into the sky or anything like that. It just wasn't there.
Wow.
And yeah, that's my absolutely petrifying. And then after that, so I remember the next day I had to go to work, and I started work at nighttime in the dark. And I remember at the time one of my co-workers had to go and get me. And even to this day, I am petrified of driving in the car at nighttime.
Yeah, look, Carly, I don't blame you.
Yeah, and then it was funny because what happened was we were staying on the South Coast with a couple of girlfriends, and they're like, call us when you get to Griffith and let us know. And anyway, we had a text message from them, so we called Steph and Gemma, our friends, and they were actually camping on the side of a road in a van, which was not the best story, but we were still in the height of hysterics, and we're telling them what had happened. And Steph said, I think what happened to you girls was Mimim. Like, I think you had an encounter. My dad had this when he was riding a quad bike across a paddock once. This light followed him. And I'm like, what? Min Min lights? And then I looked it up and, yeah, it seemed to have a lot of stories online that I saw had a similar thing where they just get followed by this weird light.
Yeah, like it raises a lot of questions because, I mean, there's a lot of characteristics that are, I guess, quite common with Min Min lights, but it's also raising a lot of questions in the sense that I think this might have been a UFO.
Yeah, the weird thing was, I guess what mainstream UFO is, like, you think it's way up in the sky, flashing lights. I don't know, like, I didn't get any of those. Yeah, and it didn't seem to ever go up into the sky. It kind of always stayed level with the car, but it could have been something, whatever it was very weird. And I think the thing that weirded me out the most was how it could just disappear, reappear, and then within seconds change where it was.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing that kind of makes me wonder if this wasn't Min Min lights is because there was only a singular light. And the thing with Min Min lights is there's usually two or three of them, and they kind of, they're much more of a playful light, and they kind of dance around, and they, what they try to do is they actually try to lure you away. So it's kind of, they want to take you into the bush and you just kind of disappear. So that's one of the,
oh my God.
Yeah, that's one of the folklores for,
well, I hope it wasn't that.
And I mean, that's one of the folklores for Min Min lights, but it all depends on who you ask, because they also say they lead you away from danger, or they kind of just, they guide you on your way, which I guess this one may have been doing, but it's pretty unusual to have just the singular light do that. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions about the light. So what color was it?
So it was, this is going to sound really silly, it was light color. Does that make sense? So you know when you get a truck light, when they're like at high beam, it was like that, but it was as if it had another one of those in the middle of it. It was like radiating a massive light, but then it was as if it had another light in that light, if that makes sense. Like you could look into the light and it looked like it had like a lot of depth.
And was the light pulsating at any times or anything like that, or was
no.
it just a constant strong light?
It was just a constant strong light. That's why we thought it might have been a motorbike light, because it was staying level with the car.
Yeah, okay.
But it was bigger than a motorbike light. Like it was pretty big and it filled the whole car.
When you say big, how big do you say it actually was?
Like it filled the whole back windscreen of the car.
Oh, so we're talking a couple of meters at least then.
Mm.
Wow, that's massive, because Min Min lights are only quite small. I mean, the largest ones that I've ever heard of are maybe beach ball size.
Oh, it might be safe to say it could have been that size, but it definitely filled the whole back windscreen with light in the car.
And did you ever feel any heat coming off it or anything like that, considering it was so big and so close?
No, nothing like that. And we never, like, there was no noise, but we didn't wind the windows down. We were petrified. We didn't wind the windows down or anything like that.
No, that's probably a good idea. When you said it filled up the sky, can you describe that a little bit more?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, so it was almost like instantaneous. Like it would like be sitting on the horizon, and you know when it looks like a truck coming up to the horizon and it fills up the sky? Because most of the road that we were on was like a long, flat country road. So when we would look back, it was as if the light was approaching and just sitting on the horizon, and it was kind of like just sitting there. But then within seconds, it would be in the back windscreen. But we never saw it travel. Does that make sense as well? I know this is a very bizarre story.
So it just appeared there?
It just appeared. So it would be on the horizon and then it would be in the back windscreen. And then in the in-between moments when, like, for instance, those three times when the cars were coming past, it just completely went dark. Like it was instantaneous.
Did you ever feel in danger from this light?
Absolutely. We were petrified. We were crying and like, we were trying, it's weird because we were both trying to be logical at the same time. So it was like a very slow burn, our fear. So we kind of, it was just a fear of the unknown. That's literally what it was. So we kind of started off, and also it was pretty isolated where we were driving. And we didn't see a lot of cars along the way, and that really freaked us out as well. So it was kind of at the start, we were a bit like, oh, this is weird. What is this? And then the moment of absolute panic was when the car came and it disappeared. And as soon as the car was gone, it reappeared. Then we thought, oh, my God, this is really weird now. It felt like we were being taunted or followed, or it was just this really uneasy feeling. And because we couldn't explain it and we tried, we're sitting there in the car going, is it a giant motorbike? Like, what is going on? We were really, really scared.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like quite a terrifying encounter there. Do you think you experienced any lost time in the trip?
It's funny you say that, because I've heard stories, and afterwards I read, because I went online and just read a whole bunch of stuff about this, because it's always fascinated me what happened. And I don't think we did. I don't think we did. But in saying that, it was 4 years ago, but I'm pretty sure we didn't, because that was kind of a common denominator in a lot of these stories. But I don't know. I'm pretty sure we didn't.
Yeah, because it's just ringing a lot of bells. I mean, recently I interviewed a lady by the name of Belle, and I think it might be episode 4, and it sounds very, very similar to the experience that you've had, where she had this very bright light kind of tracking her car, and her and her husband actually were quite terrified. They're in a very similar circumstance to you and your friend, and they actually lost control of their vehicle and should have crashed, but they lost time and their car was just back on the road. So I'm just kind of trying to see if anything like that may have happened to you.
No, nothing like that. That would have petrified me. That even just gave me goosebumps then. But no, nothing like that, because afterwards I did read a lot of stuff online when someone said midnight light and the time thing, but I didn't get that vibe that was the sense, because it felt like it was going on forever, because we were just like, when are we getting to this town? When can we just be out of this car and out of this situation?
And you said it completely disappeared when you went into populated areas.
So Yenda, yes. So it dropped off, like, pretty much as soon as we started to come into the streetlights of the town, and that's when we kind of stopped for about 10 minutes and we're like, what was that? And then we felt like this sense of, okay, whatever it was, it was gone. Like, it wasn't around. And Yenda's not the most populated town. So when I say we're in town, there was still a lot of bush area around and we just didn't see it anywhere. We looked. We were petrified. And we kind of were weighing up, do we get back on the road where we're going back into where it's isolated? Because we felt a little bit of safeness in the fact that we were in, well, because we're in a lighted area, like, it obviously wasn't around. But yeah, like, as soon as we got back on the road, it was on the horizon again, like out of the town.
Yeah, that's so unique. I've never heard of anything like that. It dead set sounds like this thing was stalking you.
That's what we felt like. And so the absolute height of all our panic was between Yenda and Griffith. That's when we really were like, this thing is back. Like, I remember Sam just being like, it's back. And I was like, no way. And then looking back and just, by this stage, it's full-blown hysterics. Like,
yeah, I could imagine.
You just don't know what's going on. And it's like, even to this day, like, I really freak out about driving at night. And you know what's funny? So at the time I was doing a radio show in Griffith in New South Wales, and I went on air on the Monday morning and I spoke about it. I was shook, and I understand that people don't always, like, some people think, oh, that's weird, or what, you know, I understand, but I had a lot of people calling, and I had people say that they had a very similar, like, situation on that road. And it really blew me away. And since then, because I talk quite openly about it, because, you know, it's something that I genuinely feel like it happened, whether I understand it or know what it is or isn't, I'm open to talking about it. And it's shocked me the amount of people that have these stories about being followed by a light. it really freaks me out. I'm like, well, why are there not more people talking about this weird phenomenon?
So you're saying you went on the radio and you spoke about this and you had callers call in and say they had something very similar.
Yeah, so that was Monday morning and it had happened on Sunday night, like the next morning. I was still really shaken up and I was in two minds. I was like, oh, my listeners might think that I'm absolutely crazy. I've lost my mind. And it was quite the opposite. We had so, and we were a small radio station, like Griffith's a town of like 20,000 people, but we had truckies ring up. We had farmers that have been followed in their paddocks. I had this lady, I've still got the email to this day, send me this email about the ministers of a very famous Min Light story in Leeton, which is not too far from Griffiths, and a lot of people had spotted Min Lights around that area. I had a girl that called up that 2 weeks before had had a similar situation in the car with her boyfriend on that very stretch of road.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is, it's a common occurrence in that area.
Yeah. And then when I looked into it, it's like there wasn't a lot documented in New South Wales. It seemed to be Boolia in Queensland, which is the home of the Min Min, and that's kind of where it's famous. But I was in New South Wales, and I worked with a girl called Taylor when I was working in Central Queensland, and she said she got followed across the Nullarbor by a similar light. So it's, because I talk about it quite openly, it has blown my mind just how many people have either had an experience or know someone that has with weird lights when they're driving at night.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Min Min encounter, or I guess the whole Min Min, I guess, theory or whatever you want to really call it, is it actually happens all around Australia. I have delivery drivers who do routes on the east coast of New South Wales who email me and tell me they see lights nearly every night that they're out there driving.
Yeah, it's full on. And the interesting thing is, like, whatever it is, as much as I do like to have an open mind about these things, and before I had this encounter, I had a very open mind about this kind of thing, but there definitely, I would like to see a logical explanation for it, because it is, you know, something weird going on our roads. You can't deny it. With this many people coming forward, there's something weird going on out there.
Well, let me ask you there, Carly. What do you think a Min Min light is? Do you think it's something paranormal? Do you think it's something extraterrestrial? Do you think it's something else?
I don't know. The closest logical explanation that I got when I started looking into it was a guy called Jack Pettigrew, I think his name is, and he was from a Queensland university, and I think he had an encounter or something, and he was like, this needs a logical explanation. So he ran a few experiments, and he found a lot of conditions were the same, and he reckons what it is that it's light traveling from, like, reflection of lights from trucks and things traveling and reflecting into cars, making it look like you're being followed by a light. That was kind of the more reasonable explanation I could find online. And I really gave some weight to that, because I was like, could it have been just a light that looked like it was following us, but it was just a reflection? But to me, it just felt like an object when I looked back and I could see it. It didn't just look like a reflection, and it moved very erratically. So that's the closest logical explanation I've been able to find anywhere, that I think maybe if you had to absolutely try and legitimize it or find a logical explanation, maybe to a degree. But in terms of what I think it is, I have no idea. It didn't feel ghostly or otherworldly, and it didn't feel alien. It just felt weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Aboriginals think it's their ancestors, it's their spirits, and they're watching over people. And, I mean, that's definitely one idea that people do have. But, I mean, the Min Min light, it's still unexplained. It's still so I guess it's not really one of those mainstream things that people talk about, because it is so, I guess, so Queensland-based that it hasn't really, I guess, reached out to the rest of the Australian public. So it's interesting that you've had this encounter on the New South Wales coast. And just recently, I interviewed a gentleman who had Min Min lights on his property in New South Wales as well. So it definitely does seem to be a bit of an event that's kind of spreading across the nation.
And what did he say about his? Was it a similar situation?
His were, I guess, a much more friendly approach. His were just on his property. He has a bit of a hobby farm, and he has them kind of just dance around in the bushes, in the trees, and stuff like that.
Yeah, mine felt a bit less friendly.
Yeah, yours definitely sounded
been friendly.
I don't know. Yours sounded it might have been a bit of a nasty spirit, if that's the that's the way you think of these things. But yeah, I think it's good that you didn't have your windows down. I think it's good that you didn't try to interact with it, because I don't know if that's something that you really wanted to be messing with.
No, absolutely not. And this is why, to this day, I hate driving at night. And I hope no one's listening to this podcast in the car alone driving at night. Turn it off now. Or it's too late now, actually.
Yeah, that's it. We're kind of at the end. And I want to thank you for coming on there, Carly, because that is an absolutely insane encounter. I'm glad you made it through it, because that is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, it's one that I'm definitely never going to forget. But to this day, I'm still absolutely intrigued, and I love hearing other people's stories. So I'm definitely going to go back and listen to those other encounters.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.